Welcome to the Startup Competitors Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kelly, and if you'd like to learn more about Startup Competitors, you can do that on startupcompetitors.com. I am with Stephanie Cummings today with Please Assist Me. Stephanie, tell us about Please Assist Me and what you're doing.
Hi, well, thank you for having me on the podcast. I founded a company called Please Assist Me, and basically what it is a mobile app that allows you to outsource all of your weekly chores, from groceries to laundry to dry cleaning to house cleaning, via one platform to a dedicated personal assistant week after week. So it's kind of like cloning yourself and allowing that person to come in and kind of do all the things that you don't have time to do.
Awesome. And what's the current status of the company? Where are you at?
So we've launched, and we originally were focused on a B2C model, so direct to competitors, and quickly realized that the customer acquisition cost for that model was high. And we were bootstrapping at the time. So we have recently pivoted, and we still have our B2C model, but we are also doing a B2B. So we work with apartment complexes, and they bring us on as an amenity. And that way we're able to offer that service to their apartment clients, which is great because it decreases our transportation costs, and it also allows us to guarantee that customer for the course of the lease, which is 12 months. So it's a positive.
Can we go into like some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, that's fine.
What cities are you launched in?
We're launched in Nashville right now. So we've started servicing homes in May, and we started servicing apartments in August. So we're pretty new, but it's been great here in Nashville.
Awesome. And still bootstrapping?
Still bootstrapping. We are currently raising our seed round.
Okay.
So that is where our story is right now. And I think every founder experiences the highs and lows of fundraising. And so we're discovering that as we go.
Yes. How big is the team?
So right now it's three people. I'm the CEO. We also have a CTO and then a COO as well.
Okay. As you think of your market, I'm sure you have some competitors, and you're free to name them or not. Like, when you think of your two closest competitors, how are you different from them?
Yeah, so our biggest competitor is Hello Outfit, based out of New York, which we have a very similar model. They use one assistant, we use two assistants. We have body cameras, they don't. So there's a few small differentiators that we have. But they're only in New York and San Francisco, and so we see this large white space of everyone in the middle. So Austin, Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, D.C., and so that's kind of the market that we're
Indianapolis.
Going. Indianapolis, yes, Indianapolis. And so that large white space, which is most of America, is what we're focused on. And then TaskRabbit, obviously, is another competitor. Not quite what we do, but still that kind of like someone coming in and handling tasks for you. And the acquisition of TaskRabbit by IKEA really, for us, showed us a path to exit and a plausible plan moving forward.
So when you were describing some of the things that differentiate you from Hello Alfred,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You said body cameras, which was kind of a surprise to me. I don't remember that from earlier conversations. What are some of those other things that differentiate you from them in terms of either the way you guys work or the types of services you guys do?
So their model is built on public transportation. So it's kind of like your assistant lives in that, four square blocks of your apartment, and they come and do it. Well, here in Nashville, or most cities around the United States, you have to drive to places. And you can't just take the subway to your neighbor and service their home. And so we really did a lot of research on optimizing the car model and in transportation and how that would look, as well as, two assistants and having that accountability to ensure that time is spent in the home. So we actually spend less on labor than they do, because on average, we spend three times less than Hello Alfred does in the home, because there's two people keeping each other accountable. So Hello Alfred, of course, was launched before we were. So when we learned that they were a direct competitor, we started doing a lot of studies into what people loved about them, what people hated about them, and then ways that we could improve. And so that's where body cameras came into play, because there was some concern about theft or inappropriate dealings in the home, same with Home Joey and Handy. And so we just wanted to get above that and provide that extra layer of accountability.
So when you were trying to figure out what were they doing well, what were they struggling with, talk a little bit about that process for how you discovered kind of those customers, their stories, and how they felt.
I think it's just good-fashioned Google, but intensive Google. So I think I spent maybe a month just going through all of their Yelp reviews, going through anything that's any article that they were published in, reading the articles underneath it. Harvard Business Review did a study on them. They were in TechCrunch. So just kind of really understanding what the customer's viewpoint of, what the press was reporting on them, were there any pivots that they made, was there any mistakes that they encountered, and then I found a site actually called Goodbye Alfred, and so read through that as well to kind of understand their strengths and weaknesses. So that way we can learn from our competitors and then ensure that we don't make the same mistakes that they did.
That's awesome. So you capture all that information. Any like tips for how you categorized it in a way to make meaning out of it? Or is it all like, I'm just going to immerse myself in it. I'm going to read as much as I can. And by the end of that month, I'm just a lot smarter and savvy on the space and I'll use intuition. Or were you capturing that in a Google sheet and indexing it and tagging it somehow? Like did you have any structure for how you went about that research?
Yeah, so any link that I found, I was just, you know, categorizing it all in one place. So anytime these are all the press releases, you know, on Hello Alfred, and these are all the bad things. And then continuing to add to that, because I think sometimes, or what I fell into, is I did all that research and then went 2 months without researching them again and totally missed that they had raised another round. And that they've expanded to San Francisco. And so that really struck me in making sure that I stay on top of my competitive research so that I don't miss those major changes.
How do you do that now? How do you stay on top of things?
So I have to dedicate some time at my schedule, and I think that's the struggle with, you know, founder life is making sure that you hit all those pieces. But especially now that we're raising our seed round, it's important for me to stay on top of that. So like once a week, I'm just Googling it and making sure that the new pops up. Of course, on Google, you can categorize by date, so I can kind of see, hey, is there anything else new, any news, that type of thing.
Got it. Who else, if you know this, who else is going after that white space? Anybody, other small regional players like Dallas, Phoenix, like where somebody else is doing what you're doing?
There's some other competitors that are doing concierge services to apartment complexes. They might not be offering that comprehensive in-home service, but I am starting to see a trend that there's a company in Dallas, there's a company in out west, where they're trying to offer these deluxe amenities to be, you know, offered through apartment complexes. But in Nashville and in Southeast, there's nothing, so that white space is wide open.
Right on. So going forward, you're going to raise a seed round, hopefully.
Yes.
You're going to raise a seed round. And expand. Talk a little bit about use of funds. So you bring that funding in. What purpose is that going to serve in terms of expansion? Is that just headcount, another city? Where do you think that money goes?
So I've always been very transparent. So we bootstrapped with very minimal investment. So been very wise with the money. And definitely operated on that lean model to continue to iterate and figure out what we need to do and what we can't do. So with all the lessons learned, now I feel like we can take the money and use it wisely, because I know a lot of companies blow through their seed round because they raised it very early and didn't really understand how to be mindful of the money. So right now it's focused on the next 12 months. We're going to completely validate this in the Nashville market. We're going to scale it, you know, as quickly as we can in Nashville, and then that also gives us a 24-month roadmap to then the next 12 months expand to 2 additional cities in the Southeast. So very detailed with our seed plan, and we're saying, hey, look, this is what we've done with this amount, this is what we're planning to do with this amount, you know, and we're very focused on what we're going to do with it.
Got it. If you, looking forward, if you think about the roadblocks that are going to be in front of you from a scale perspective, can you predict what you think those might be? What are some of the challenges?
Yeah, so right now we have an MVP app, and I built that myself. I wouldn't consider myself the strongest technical person, but along with my CTO, we were able to get a quick MVP on the market just so we can get customer feedback. So our next step is reiterating that and, you know, getting what customers said. You know, for instance, abandoned carts, or remembering what I ordered last week and having a few of those things that we didn't build in initially. So that's the next step, is iterating our technology and then doing that with the mindset of, okay, when we build this, it has to be at a point where it can expand to different cities so that we don't have to go back again and fix it. So that's kind of our biggest thing, is making sure our technology is at the point where it can support 3 cities or 4 cities or 10 cities.
Got it. I thought you would say something more on like finding talent to actually do the jobs or things like that. So that's interesting. When you think of you're selling out to apartment complexes, mm-hmm. right? I know you also have the B2C, but when you're doing that pitch to a apartment complex or a developer, property manager, what are the objections that you hear from them?
So the apartments are usually very excited to offer something new to the residents. I think the hesitancy for apartments comes with who's going to pay for it. So right now it's an optional add-on to the lease, so residents can opt in or opt out, but they would eventually pay for that per month. So $100 per month would be added to their lease to utilize the service. So right now, because we're a little small, apartments aren't willing to say, hey, I'm going to drop, you know, all this money to pay for everyone up front. And so I think that's our next hurdle, is to really prove out the benefit that the residents experience. They stay longer, they're happier, they want to be at your apartment because you offer this service, and then use that story to then, you know, pitch that story to apartments. Hey, now this is what it can do. You can pay for it. So that's our next iteration. And to kind of go back to your question about finding talent, so actually, it's funny, there's an abundance of talent. So there's a lot of people now, I think the workforce is no longer stuck to that 9-to-5, and there's a lot of people freelancing, and so there's a lot of high quality people that are just looking for a part-time gig. Hey, I want to work 20 hours a week, something easy, something I know how to do. We pay well in the part-time market, and so finding talent's not hard. It's just making sure that our infrastructure is in place to support it.
And I think I caught it's the same people that show up at my apartment every week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm getting, in theory, over time, they're learning my preferences,
yep,
and they're learning where my stuff goes,
yep,
or whatever the case,
yep,
may be.
And then we have a file on you, so we know that, you know, Michael loves, you know, his bananas to be placed on top of the refrigerator. So in the event that there might, in highly unlikely event, but in the event that there's a turnover, the next assistant can come on and, you know, learn about you and then be able to provide that same level of service.
I'm afraid everybody has a file on me.
No. What? I don't hope I didn't tell you.
No, it's okay. How do you handle if one of those two are sick, or like what happens when life happens and things get difficult from a staffing perspective?
Yeah, so we have a staffing pool. So we have a couple people that are, for instance, in Nashville, there's a lot of musicians who are always traveling. They've been vetted, they worked with us before, but they couldn't stay committed to a Wednesday because they're, you know, moving around or whatever. And so they're in our pool. So if someone does, hey, call out sick, then I'm saying, hey, your assistant is sick this week. Daniel's stepping in for you. Meet Daniel. He's a, you know, a part-time musician, and he does this. He's been vetted. We love him. And, you know, so that way we can kind of have that fill.
I didn't even think of that. The initial people who show up, do I interview them, or is it just a service based on trust? I trust your brand and that these people have been vetted, just like I kind of trust my Uber or Lyft driver, right? Like, is it that, or am I actually sitting down with them as part of the process of onboarding?
So you have a welcome consultation. So someone will come to your home and walk through with you, answer any questions you might have, you know, really, this is how you use the service, you know, and ask, because we find that when you start talking through things, people have questions that they didn't even think about. And then they can put a face with the service, they can shake a hand, they get a welcome box, that sort of thing. And so that's your first contact. And if your assistant, maybe there's two assistants, so maybe both assistants can't make it to the welcome consultation, you'll actually get a little read up on who your assistant is and that sort of thing.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Does Hello Alfred do the welcome consultation?
They do a welcome consultation.
Interesting.
But I think it's a little different in terms of, it's an optional welcome consultation. It's not a required.
Okay. How does entry and access into the space work? Do I give them a key? Is it all remote controlled? What
so
happens there?
So apartments are easy because we work with the apartments to get a vendor key. And then from there, so we get a key release form, fill it out. We work with the concierge or the front office staff to get a key. So there's actually a record of us, hey, police assistant came in to get a key. So all of that is documented as well. For houses, we'll make a copy of your key. We store it at an extremely secure location, so you don't have to worry about that. But we'll do that during your welcome consultation as well.
Okay. So flip from the consumer experience to kind of the back office. What does liability look like for you in terms of growing and scaling this business? What, from an insurance perspective, how has that been? And like people stealing other people's stuff, or somebody slips and falls and gets hurt. How, like, talk through that experience of how you figured all that out.
Yeah, so insurance was a little harder than I expected moving on board because we couldn't fit in a pretty little box. And so it took a lot longer and a lot to find the right insurance for our company. But we are insured for $1 million every visit. So every time someone enters your home, anything that happens is insured up to $1 million. On top of that, we have workers' comp insurance, you know, liability, commercial liability insurance, all of that. And then we also have found that the body cameras have come into play. So very early on, we had a client that misplaced her tablet and thought that maybe an assistant had took it. And so we were able to then say, hey, well, here's the body camera footage. We looked through it. We didn't see, you know, the assistant taking a tablet, and it encouraged her to go back and look and found it in her daughter's toys. And so it was kind of that liability.
Awesome.
That, yeah, exactly.
That's a good story.
So it's kind of that trust on both sides. Say, hey, you know, the employee feels like they're a little bit more protected when they go into the home because they have that footage, as well as the client, the customer, feels more protected because they know that there's documentation of everything that goes on.
That's awesome. Anything that you guys have done yourselves in terms of the body cameras, or just using something off the shelf?
Just using something off the shelf. That's not something else. So we're trying to build a more deluxe server to be able to store that footage and be able to categorize it a little bit more easily.
Awesome. Anything as you think forward to the coming months, anything kind of forward looking in terms of new things that are coming out, or anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, so we are considering expanding to 2 cities. Like I said, that's how we're raising our seed round.
And so, like, if people go online and start tweeting you, like, pick my city, is there like a contest to vote to become the next city?
I will say that if we get 200 tweets about come to Indianapolis, I'm pretty sure that we will be...
Right on.
Yes, in Indianapolis, so no pressure.
All right. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, so pleaseassistme.com is our website. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Feel free to give us a shout out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.